Lord, I pray your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Holy Spirit, direct us into all truth. Amen. Right. Just a few thoughts today. I was spending some time with the Lord just thinking about grace of God and looking up some old hymns. There's one about God's grace that is greater, I think is the name of the old hymn. And just and it called it this the marvelous grace of God. Just kind of crying out for it. But, you know, we know that grace far extends just what Jesus did on the cross and everything that he won for us, you know. Romans, Bishop's teaching through Romans, and at the end of Romans 5, it says that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, you know. This is on our lives, because the way that's written is for kind of the verb usage in that is for kind of a here and now, but yet that will continue on in the future. That where in my life, where there's sin or any area where I'm tempted or trying to be pulled into it, whatever measure of that sin, say it's this much, right? Grace is so much more. And I always see it as like, I think I had this vision one day in here, you know, if I'm standing down there and sin would be about my size, and then the grace of God would be like a tsunami wave coming and just wash over you. That's what grace is like. And he goes on in Romans chapter 6 talking about something that's very interesting that we'll have to continue to, as believers, just visit over and over again about how Jesus freed us from the power of sin and from where we used to, it says, you know, where you used to just surrender your members over to it, now you're under this, you're under the dominion of sin, but now in Christ, you're under this dominion or this ruling thing of grace. That it actually says grace has dominion now. And in the kingdom of God, the grace of God is now reigning. And it did an interesting thing here, because it said you were once, what you were once enslaved to, now you're enslaved to something else. You're enslaved now to righteousness, right? If you think about being tied up or whatever in chains to sin, now you're tied to, in that sense, like a rope around you or whatever, to God, to righteousness, right? As now you're, as grace reigns, this is grace reigns and expresses itself in righteousness. Righteousness is just the right thing. As we walk with the Lord, we walk in righteousness, right? Walk in his character. So that's what righteousness is. I'm actually enslaved to that. That's truth, right? Because I don't have to give into that. I don't have to give into any attitude. I don't have to give into any action, right? It always starts with an attitude first, or a thought, right? Sin always starts with a thought. That's what James tells us. It says each one of you is, when he's tempted and carried away by his own lust, you know, when it says lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth the death, right? And the whole result of that in Romans chapter 6 is your experience is you got death and you got life. What do you want your experience to be on the earth? I want life, right? Good news. You're now dead to this and you're alive to this. But if you live in this, your experience is going to be death, right? Like, if you think of death, my experience being death is just yuck, right? The wages of sin. That's what you get paid back. So, and he uses the word, as we're being, let's see where it is right here. I love how he said, don't go and present in the members of our body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. And you've heard this say this before. Bishop said it recently too, that word instrument is the word a weapon, right? That righteousness, if I present myself to God, or present myself to him, it is an instrument of righteousness. In other words, righteousness is a weapon. Like when I say yes to him and I yield and I'm walking out, righteousness is actually a weapon against the enemy. If I'm walking in righteousness, I'm walking in love or whatever, it is actually like a bomb exploding, right? Proverbs says, 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? Kindness defeats anger. Well, that's just a little picture there of what he means by, as I surrender to righteousness, then it's walking around with a weapon, right? Really cool thing. And so that's just to encourage you, because the more I was thinking of that, and I was thinking of the scripture in Hebrews that talks about Hebrews chapter 12. I used to kind of stay away from Hebrews chapter 12 because I really didn't understand the very last part of that. Because it talks about, well, first of all, let me read this for you, because 12 is awesome. It starts off about Jesus, for the joy set before him, which is us. He endured the cross, and he despising the shame. We talked about that, about how Jesus put to death shame, and he hates that. But the whole rest of the chapter in Hebrews, from 4 to 17 in Hebrews chapter 12, talks about how God deals with us, how God deals with us as his children, as sons and daughters. And he uses the word discipline, right? When you hear the word discipline, that can give a real negative connotation, because it's like the Lord spanks us, you know, or something like that. But the word discipline is just, the root word is disciple, that God disciples us, right? He treats us as sons and daughters. And he uses this thing about this word. It's kind of one of those big church words, or big, you know. It says, pursue peace with all men and sanctification, which without which no one will see the Lord. And the sanctification is just walking out. It really means holyizing, even though holyizing is not a word. But sanctification just means walking out your life in Christ, which is walking out holiness. I love how in 1 Peter it talks about that, and when it says, you know, in the Old Testament, you shall be holy for I am holy. And the way that's written in the Greek is, because I'm holy, you are holy, right? We're the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are holy. That's who we are. Walking that out on a daily basis is the word sanctification, where you're set apart. You're holy, okay? Pounding this thing out in us is what the Christian life is all about, right? Timothy's, I love the book of Timothy. There's so much cool stuff in here. And Timothy was a young guy, and he became, historically, we understand that Timothy was the leading elder in the city of Ephesus, or the bishop, right? The word apostle and the word bishop became synonymous, right? They stopped kind of using the word apostle and just changed that to the word bishop, which just means chief elder. That's all it means, right? It's not a bad word. It's a great word. It just means an apostle, or the chief guy there. And Timothy was the chief guy there. And so Paul would write him and to encourage him and talk to him about pursuing, you know, what his life's pursuit, you know. And he tells him the flee from the youthful lust, and pursue righteousness, pursue faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But just, again, I like going back and reading this, because it just kind of sets the stage for all of us that, you know, we are all pursuing something, right? Whether we admit that, maybe we're not, but let's just say we are. We're all pursuing something, right? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, it tells us to pursue or go after the gifts, right? Desire them. Earnestly desire the gifts, it says. But to pursue, love. But go after the gifts, right? Here's to pursue or go after righteousness, right? So there should be like a holy burning desire in our hearts, because God put it in there. Because he gave us a new spirit and a new heart when we became new creations, right? Took out the heart of stone, put in a heart of flesh, and packed it all in there. He even came in there and just squished himself in there, right? So my heart, my new heart, is a heart that responds and longs and pants after God. But if I'm going after God, then I'm going after righteousness. Because I can't pursue God and not pursue righteousness, because that's who he is, that's who I am. And so walking this out every day is that, right? And if I stop pursuing that, Someone said one time that, you know, in the Christian life, we're even, you're either moving forward or you're going backwards, right? There really is no sitting still. And that's really true. If you found people I know, myself even, I always look at it like you're in this like river or this stream that's moving pretty fast, and you're in a boat and you get in it and you go with that stream, right? But if you're not, then you just start drifting backwards, or the tide comes and moves the other way and you just start going this way. So our pursuit and our desire has to be, if we're going to pursue that, then that is called sanctification, right? Because my heart, your heart, is to walk out and to experience life in every way. And he tells Timothy an interesting thing. He says, you know, we talked about that a little bit yesterday, and I told you I kind of stray away from that, because when you start talking about things like discipline, you know, the whole Hebrews chapter 12 uses that word, discipline. But to be a disciple of Christ really means that my life is now spent following him, or my life is spent in his presence now, you know. And he tells Timothy this. He said, Timothy, constantly nourish yourself on the words of faith. It says this. That's in 1 Timothy 4, if you want to go back and look at it. He said, pointing out these things to the brethren. Now, he talks about, we've all read that in chapter 4, about in the last times these things will happen, you know. We see that falling before us, or being played out before us, where he said there's doctrines of demons and deceitful spirits out there. And he tells him, just encourage him, he said, pointing out these things, Timothy, be a good servant of Christ, constantly nourished on words of faith and on sound doctrine, right? Meaning that I have to have a constant, that I put myself in a position where I'm constantly hearing and I'm constantly in fellowship with the Lord. I'm just constantly, I'm continually nourished on words of faith, right? And that's just another picture of what it's going to look like if I'm really pursuing, if I'm pursuing him, if I'm renewing my mind, you know, falling hard after him, then my life has to be, I have to position myself again in a place where I'm constantly feeding, right? Scripture talks about long for the pure milk of the word, right? Uses kind of food. Hebrews chapter 5 talks about that. He's kind of exhorting them, but saying, hey guys, by now you ought to be teaching other people, but you have need of the elementary things of God because you haven't been nourishing yourself. You haven't been seeking the Lord. You haven't been in his presence, listening, constantly nourished on words that he's speaking to you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the words of Christ, right? And this is all... you all know this. I'm not saying anything that no one in here is, you're like, well, duh. But I can't explain what the Lord just stirred in my heart. It's like a real calling for us as believers to get whatever we have to do. Even he says this, you know, when he's talking to Timothy, he tells him, you know, here's what I want your life to be, Timothy. You're going to have to discipline yourself. If you want godliness, he says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. He said, because body discipline is only of little profit, right? But godliness is profitable for you now because godliness is going to take you on through eternity, right? Bodily discipline, no matter how much I discipline my body and eat the right foods and take care of myself, I'm going to die, guaranteed. If Jesus doesn't come back and he tarries any longer, all of us, including me in here, our bodies are going to die, okay? So, but our spirit will live on forever. That's the reason he said, in comparison, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, you know? So, and then he says at the end of that, when he's talking to Timothy, he said, you know, take pains with these things. In other words, what I'm giving you is not a fun word, but a much necessary word, very necessary. Because to walk this out, right? If I'm to walk it out and I'm to experience every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, then what he tells me is continually seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections, set your attention, set your whole life on that. And it says when Christ is revealed, you'll be revealed in glory. Because that's how I find who He is. That's how I discover who I am. Everything is hammered out in the presence of the Lord. Not in much in here is when we all come together. When we all come together, it's to build each other up. It's to worship the Lord. Gathering together is for the church. It's to get edified and to encourage you to continue on. But your Christian life is pounded out in the secret place, right? And that's where you hear Him. That's where you experience His presence. That's where you talk to Him about stuff. That's where this has all worked out. You know that. But it's just like the Lord has just given everyone just this fresh invitation to live your life there, right? To seek first the kingdom, to go after it with everything. Pursue, right? Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Go after it, Timothy. Go after it, believer. Be constantly nourished. You know, one thing I've discovered about the Lord and spending time with Him is He's never silent, right? He's just talking and always just speaking. Like I told you yesterday, which is really true, if you make His presence your priority, it will consume you. It will absolutely consume you to the point of you're always, yeah, you know, you're always thinking about, man, I can't wait to get back there. I can't wait to get back there. I can't wait to get back there in His presence, right? What are You saying today, Lord? What have You got? You know, and it's just He'll give it to you. But whatever He feeds you makes you crave more, right? It's like you're satisfied, but you want more. It's almost like a drug, in a good way, right? In a good way, because you get, I've heard people say that all the time, where you get intoxicated with His presence and all that. And I thought, I don't know about that, you know, because I've never been much of a feely person. I'm just kind of even, I'm just like this, you know, never get really excited, never get sad. I'm just kind of, you know. So that wasn't a word that I would use, but it's true. You just get, the more you go, then the more you long for it. The more you're there, the longer you want to stay there. I have to get, it's very frustrating to me to have to stop, you know. I know He doesn't, it's not like I leave Him. He's with me and He goes, but He's calling. So we're in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 time where the winter's over, spring is here, the sound of the turtle dove is heard in the land. The everything is in blossom, things are growing. And in that context, it says, come away with me. Come with this steep pathway. You know, let me see your form. Let me hear your voice. Because I love to hear your voice. It's awesome. And I love to see your form. Right? And the Lord is talking about coming to this new place in Him. And it's actually a higher place. That's the way Scripture reads. Right? He's moving you from the place you were now to a higher place so that He can give you the more. Right? So I encourage you. There's this place with our name on it, a chair that's fashioned for only you, that only you can fit in, that He's designed. Song of Solomon chapter 4 talks about that, where God has designed a chair for you, and He wants you to be there more than you want to be there. So what I'm saying, if it, nothing else, just let it put a fresh hunger or desire in you to get in the presence of God. Then what we've been talking about here for a long time, this breakthrough that leads to a place called encounter, you're going to have a breakthrough to a new, fresh encounter with the Lord. Amen.